This is the ULM Forum on KEDM Public Radio. I'm Jay Curtis. It takes a lot to make a new country your home. For someone who helps people with relationships, it can be especially hard on your own when pursuing a passion for your profession. Today in our profile series, we're taking a look at another one of the fascinating people who make up the University of Louisiana at Monroe. Dr. Janice Sutton is a native of Bishop Auckland in England, but she's been living and working in the United States since 1994. She's now the Director of Clinical Services for Marriage and Family Therapy at ULM. Dr. Sutton, tell us a little bit about what you do in marriage and family therapy programs.
Well, I do an awful lot of things. Teach marriage and family therapy courses, and we have a master's degree in marriage and family therapy as well as a PhD in marriage and family therapy. So we offer master's and PhD level courses. And very recently, in the last year or two, we have developed an online PhD program. So we also reach students from all over the country. In fact, we have some international students as well. So I do teach courses, and then I oversee issues such as recruitment and advertisement of the programs so that we can let students know who we are and what it is that we have to offer.
I want to talk a little bit more about your background because I find it fascinating in a moment. But first, I wanted to check with you. I know the department is just finishing a $385,000 grant from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. Tell us about that grant and what some of the partnerships that it's been able to engender.
Absolutely. That grant has, or did have, as you say, we are approaching the end of that grant. It had four parts to it, so there were four separate initiatives that we as a community were hoping to accomplish and did accomplish. The first was to create a model juvenile drug court program, which we did in collaboration with the 4th Judicial District Court. And toward the end of April, we actually presented that information in New Orleans to all of the other jurisdictions within the state of Louisiana. So essentially what we did was we researched what are the most effective practices to help these youngsters with their drug problems. So that was the first initiative. The second was to create an evidence-based practice screening and triage process for the juvenile district attorney's office, which we did in collaboration with the district attorney's office here in the 4th JDC. And essentially what we accomplished with that project was we implemented screening tools and assessment tools so that we can ensure through the diversion program that the correct youngsters get associated and referred to the appropriate services for their needs. The third and fourth initiatives were done in collaboration with the Children's Coalition of Northeast Louisiana. And those initiatives were to create a model parenting program for the local community, which they have done. And I'd like to say thank you to Dina McGrew for her work with that. And the other piece that we did in collaboration with the Children's Coalition and the Youth Services Planning Board was to increase the use of evidence-based practices within our juvenile drug court setting all over the community. So in other words, we were training community providers to be able to ensure that what they are doing is effective with the youth and families that they are serving.
Contrast with me some of the things that you were looking to put into place with maybe how things had been done up to that point.
Well, essentially what it is that we were making sure that everything that we were doing was up to date and was research-based so that we know for a fact that it is effective. And the types of issues that most of these youth and families are dealing with are either they are at risk for being removed from their home, or they have mental health issues, school issues, or family problems. So or any other issue that might lead to a youth being involved with the juvenile justice system. The vast majority of these youth were in the juvenile justice setting or at risk for being in the juvenile justice setting. So the main goal, if I could kind of summarize exactly what we were trying to do, we were trying to put services in place that can ensure that these youth, either stay out of the legal system, or once they get in the legal system, they get the kind of treatment that they need in order to not find themselves back there.
Also, I think you have a fascinating history in that the first thing that we'll ask is, you have such a lovely accent. Tell us about your background and a little bit about how you came to ULM.
Thank you. I do think my accent has changed over the years. I realized just a few weeks ago that I've actually been in the United States for longer now than I was in England. I was born in England and moved to South Carolina to go to college. My undergraduate degree was from the University of South Carolina, Spartanburg, in psychology. And how I found myself at ULM and in Monroe was actually to come to our marriage and family therapy program, of which I'm now program director. So I'm sure that's quite an unusual story. I came here as a student, attained my master's degree, decided to stay for the PhD program because I thought it was a fascinating program, and truly believed in what we teach here at this program and wanted to learn more. Got my PhD and then found myself teaching in the program, and still love it as much as I did the day that I first came.
You've said something in dealing with especially therapy programs, the concept that everything is interrelated and interconnected. Can you comment on that, about how that relates to your worldview?
Yes, I think that's one of the unique features of our marriage and family therapy program. When we train our interns to become licensed professional counselors and licensed marriage and family therapists, we train them through the lens of looking at family problems and individual problems as being interrelated, meaning that it's not just one person's problem, that we see problems as a result of the way that people interact. So we look at all behavior in its context, and we also believe that when we look at behavior within its context, that it makes sense, and therefore it's not problematic.
Something else that I read in a faculty profile of you on the ULM webpage, the nature of having two homes, both here and in your native England. Can you contrast the things that you love, things that you miss about home, with things that you've grown to love maybe on this side?
That's probably the most difficult question that you've asked me all afternoon. Yes, I do believe that I have two homes. I am equally as much American as I am English, maybe a little bit more now. I'm sure all of your listeners that have moved here from anywhere else, whether it's out of the country or just from another state or even from another part of the state that has a different cultural tradition, will understand what I'm about to say, which is that it is very strange at times to feel embraced by one community, but yet not feel a part of the community all at the same time. So what I mean by that is I absolutely feel at home here and feel as though everybody looks at me just like I'm one of them. But yet there's also, at the very same time, the idea that I am a foreigner and I don't really fit and I am different and I do have an accent. And I think what was alarming to me about the differences between one country and the other was not really anticipating that. I think that I had this misnomer that because Americans speak English, maybe not my English, but a version of English, that there really wouldn't be a lot of cultural differences, but there really are. Difference in food, in culture, in traditions. And I do find myself, the more and more removed I become from England, the more I find myself missing it.
What are some things you miss the most?
Well, first and foremost, family and friends. How could a family therapist say anything other than that? It probably is top of my awareness, given that I have just had two of my nieces spend several weeks with me. So even though there is a great geographical distance between myself and my family, we still stay very connected. But I think I miss the food. And I know that your listeners out there are probably laughing if they've ever been to England and eaten our food, but I miss it. And I think I also miss the pomp and circumstance and pageantry that goes with being British.
Such as the Queen's Jubilee, just
exactly, recently. Exactly. I've been glued to the TV for the last several weeks, finding myself getting extremely homesick. And I think that that is just part of being British. We like to wave that Union Jack, and we, well, I shouldn't say we, because I'm sure not everybody falls in that category, but I'm personally proud to be British and proud of our royal family, and also proud of being an American too.
Well, that's the other side of the question. Is there certainly some things that you miss about your home on that side of the Atlantic Ocean? Well, what are some of the things that you find that you've most embraced about living in Louisiana?
I think this may surprise some people that I have become a lot more friendly since I have lived in America. And I don't know whether that's an American thing or whether that's a Southern thing or maybe both. But I do find that I was a whole lot more standoffish as a person before I moved here. So I think that one thing that America has done for me is helped me to become more friendly and to embrace strangers in a positive way, obviously. But I do think that I had a tendency to be a little bit more standoffish before. The other thing that I absolutely have embraced about this country, and I think it's a fabulous thing that your country has to offer, is that there really is something known as the American Dream. One can come over here and make anything that they wish to of themselves and for themselves if they only put their mind to it and if they are willing to put in the hard work.
Do you said you missed some of the food of home. Do you have any new favorite foods, maybe Louisiana foods?
I have some Louisiana foods that I haven't been able to learn to like. One example is cornbread. For some reason, I cannot quite develop a taste for cornbread. But I do love gumbo, and I do love seafood. So, yes, I have embraced some Louisiana traditions. I think I still cook a little bit more like a British individual than maybe a Southern cook. But
give us an
I'm
example.
Getting there.
Give us an example. What would be something that you might do differently from someone here?
Fish and chips. Yes, we love our fish and chips. Shepherd's pie.
Okay.
That always goes down well in my house. And, of course, Yorkshire puddings. That's definitely a British staple, and from my part of the country, too. So there are probably a few things that I cook that people probably wouldn't over here, or maybe not quite so much.
Might be a stretch.
Yes.
Who knows?
Yes.
Dr. Janice Sutton is the Programs Director for the Marriage and Family Therapy Clinic here on the ULM campus, as well as overseeing the ULM Help Suicide Prevention Program. Dr. Sutton, thank you so much for talking with us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Comments or questions about the show can be emailed to woodard@ulm.edu or send them to ULM Forum, care of KEDM Public Radio, 250 Stubbs Hall, 401 Bayou Drive, Monroe, Louisiana, 71209. You can listen, download, podcast, and share the ULM Forum online at kedm.org in the listening room.